Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. What a day it has been and continues to be. I mean, this is probably the busiest day on the calendar in many, many weeks past or to come.
Busiest Sunday for sure.
Yeah. I mean, of course, we had two services this morning. During those services, I was on TV.
Oh, what?
How'd you manage that one?
I was on Faith in Our Hometown with Father Jay. He's the priest over at St. Peter's Catholic Church here in Joplin. And he does a Sunday morning program on a local TV station. And he had me on as a guest to talk about Next Gen worship. And he'd seen us in the newspaper. And
oh, wow.
That's cool.
We talked about Next Gen and house fires and all the good stuff, Unite Worship gatherings.
Wow.
Talked about Nick and Ashley and identity music and the many, many irons we have in the fire. And he had a very sore throat during the entire interview. And after the show was over, man, I had to pray for him. Like,
right.
Dude, yo, Father, can I pray for you? No. I just asked if I could pray for him. And he goes, yes, brother, please, please pray for me. I said, no, like right now. And he goes, okay. Prayed for him. And he said, man, something happened.
Something happened.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. His assistant was complaining of back pain the whole time. They're walking out the door and I grabbed her. And I said, can I pray for your back? And she's like, okay. And I prayed for her back. And I said, now do something that you haven't been able to do. And she bent over and her back went.
Oh, wow. Goes,
the pain's totally gone.
Yes.
And so we walked out the door. I got in my car. And I'm having a Jesus moment driving out of the TV station. I'm hooping and hollering and thanking Father God. I'm like, woo. And then I looked down and realized I still had my microphone on.
That's so classic.
So I like did a U-turn and pulled back in, and the hippie audio guy comes out and he's like, hey, bro, what's up? You got my microphone?
Yeah.
It was fun.
I'm glad you didn't go to the bathroom or anything at that moment. Sure. Right?
That would have been awesome.
So more classic than just a movement of the Holy Spirit going on in here. So, yeah, and then tonight, what we got going on, Clintock?
Tonight is a very big event. It's an annual event for Joplin called Freedom Fest, and it's a big 4th of July bash. Thousands of people, vendors, and they bring in artists, comedians, and this year we are very honored to have our own Nick and Ashley Smith to lead that whole place in worship right before the fireworks. It's going to be awesome.
That's cool. Going to be good.
So if you're anywhere in the vicinity of Joplin, Missouri, come on in. We're going to have a good time this evening. You got time to travel on in if you're like maybe Tulsa or Kansas City.
That's right.
Come on in, Springfield, Missouri. Shout out to Stephen Duncan. Bring your whole clan, man. We're going to have a good time.
Tons of food, entertainment. It's a really great time.
Yeah, so fireworks and worship.
Come on. Hey, that's really good, man.
We should do that every time.
Every time.
All American right there.
There should always be fireworks with worship.
Yes. Like big old pyro machines going off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, you are here. Flying pigs. It'll be awesome.
Flying pigs?
That's a throwback.
Yeah, that was back in my earlier years. So, yeah, definitely come out tonight. Freedom Fest 2017. Lots of good stuff. Comedian
John Crist.
John Crist will be out there. Mm-hmm. Stars Go Dim. Ryan Stevenson, one of our good friends, longtime friends, who's got several hits and written and recorded with Toby Mac, going to be out there. So excited to get Nick and Ashley out there and bless the socks off some folks.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking with Nick and Ashley's mentor, actually their youth pastor when they were kiddos. Chris Jones is on the program with us today, and we're going to discuss Men of Honor. So stick around. It's a great show. That topic is coming up when we get back.
The single mom raising kids alone. The woman headed back to school to start a new career. The woman loving and cherishing children that you didn't get to birth. The single woman who isn't waiting for a man to help you really live your adventure. The brave mom who homeschools. The brave mom who doesn't. The businesswoman. The lady preacher who's going against the religious flow. Every day, you fight for what is right and good and healthy. You wage war against dysfunctional patterns and habits in your own life and in the world around you by living with a heart that is becoming whole and healthy. You were made with a beautiful mind that solves problems and a beautiful body that creates and sustains life. You are Wonder Woman. Look around you, see the beautiful ones, and champion them.
Empowering women to thrive. Ladies, catch an all-new episode of the On Fire podcast tomorrow at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be talking about activating a city with Daryl Billings. It's going to be an incredible show and lots of really creative ideas coming out of there. You definitely want to tune in for that. Today, we are going to have Chris Jones on the program with us, one of our very own. Always love to hear what he has to say.
Yep.
Very, just a powerful guy.
He's a big papa bear running around town.
I love him. I saw him last night at VBS, Vacation Bible School. He was picking up his kiddos there. He's just always happy to see you. And
he's always happy.
He's fun to be
good
with.
Good guy.
And we're going to discuss this topic in further detail with him, but this is the topic of the show, Men of Honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I recently had this topic for men stirred in me because I just spent some time with Dustin Smith, one of our great friends, worship leaders from down the Nashville area. He created a brand new ministry to empower men called Be Fierce. And this was his first men's conference, Be Fierce Men. And it was so powerful. And like 500 plus men there. And man, they were worshipers. I mean, just so awesome to be in a room with 500 guys and they're all worshiping with strength and God's touching their lives. Tons of great speakers. I got to throw my two cents in there. And man, just a powerful day. But I came away changed in that atmosphere. And God is doing something in men today. So I thought it'd be great to talk about men. Because sometimes, you know, we feel like, hey, if they could just get all the guys to stop watching R-rated movies and, you know, bring home a good income for their family, that God would bring revival, you know? But honestly, this really is a great opportunity to talk about identity, especially from a man's point of view, because I feel like a lot of times men are insecure and they're acting out of that insecurity. They're also orphan-hearted. You see a lot of guys who feel like they don't measure up to who God wants them to be. So they feel isolated. They feel orphaned from him. They feel like he's far away. And so I would just like to crush that whole idea today and talk about men of honor in the kingdom, man. These are men who know their identity, who are seated with Christ in heavenly places, who have become one with him, and who are here to transform the world.
Haley, we definitely value your opinion on this subject too. Just because it's a program on men, it doesn't mean that a woman's perspective isn't valuable, because it's incredibly
she
valuable.
She is not short on opinions about this, let me tell you.
And I just want to let you know, when you were at that conference a couple of weeks ago, we were in the middle of a Unite Worship gathering, and we all kind of snuck out and pulled up the laptop and watched you stream live at that conference. Man, you knocked it out of the ballpark. But you had several men and women around that just cheering you on, watching
awesome.
You stream live. And you walked in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit and delivered a prophetic word. Like, the room was shifted. The room was changed. It's just great to see our people out there.
Yeah, moving, isn't it so and fun shaking. To see family do cool. the stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, if we're going to talk about men of honor, we have to establish the fact that we're talking about what is a biblical men of honor kind of a perspective. And to do that, you have to remove men of America honor or men of the wilderness honor, you know, because a lot of the ideas that the world presents today as, quote, manly have nothing to do with kingdom or Bible or Jesus and just have everything to do with culture and society.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you give us a couple examples, Haley?
Well, okay. I just want to talk about the romp him.
The what?
the man romper. Because,
what?
Because, okay, here's the deal. There are plenty, and I'm not in favor. I don't think that's a fashionable thing to do. So let me just say that first.
But, I got a pair of them in my closet. Yeah. They're called coveralls.
Yeah. There are men who are, you know, really manly in their pursuits and their, you know, the way they work, the things they enjoy. They're big, they're burly, they're masculine, they growl, they watch NASCAR, and... You know, but
they have a chainsaw.
They are disinterested in their wives, their families, and they can't empower people. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And then you might have a man who wears a romp him. But if he is faithful, he is steady, he is unwavering in his efforts towards empowering his wife, his children, his community, I would call that more manly than Mr. Burley. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely.
So, not that I think romp hems are cool and Clint will never wear one, but
oh, yes,
I'm,
he will.
I'm saying you have two examples of manly. One, our culture would say is manly, and one would be more kingdom manly. Right.
So, going back to the title, it's almost men and honor are synonymous. If you're going to talk about biblical men, you're going to talk about men that are honorable.
Mm.
Men that are honorable are men who empower others, like mm-hmm. you talked about, Haley. Men of honor are ones that will consider others better than themselves, will push others out into the limelight before themselves, will always serve in a very powerful way. They'll use the authority they've been given in order to steward and empower other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is honorable. And that's what real men do. And I know that we've had men like that in our lives. We've had men that aren't honorable in our lives. Yeah. We all have.
Sure.
But we can always remember those that we admired, those that we wanted to be like, those that were those men that made you feel empowered because they were in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. The word that comes to mind when you're just now talking, Josh, is that these are men of grit and that these are men of character and maturity. And, you know, you don't become a mature man who's able to be a leader and an empower by being a crybaby all the time. You know, you see, what's the worst thing to see than a man throwing a fit? He doesn't get his way, so he makes a mess about it. But instead, takes responsibility and you say, you know what? I take the blame for that. That was my fault. And then they make it right. Mm-hmm. And man, you get a bunch of men like that around each other and you get those kind of men in your life. Golly, that's so empowering. And there's no shame between them and there's no weird macho thing. You know, you got to have your distance because I'm macho and you're macho. But it's relational.
It's so foreign to me.
it's a little weird, our relation,
I mean, our community is so not like that.
Right.
Yeah. We don't have a macho community. We have very manly men.
We're creatives.
But we're not like afraid of each other or intimidated by one another, really. So
I think that a godly man, a man of honor, is really the backbone of the kingdom structure in the world today that's really been missing from society.
Well, yeah, you look at how pop culture has painted fathers and husbands. I mean, from the time of Married with Children until today, he's just a present numbskull in the background, making stupid jokes and being made fun of.
Yeah.
And the thing is he is the glue to that household. He's the one that empowers and gives permission and continually restores his family to more and more healthy places in their lives.
Perfect picture.
You know, that kind of stereotype that culture has tried to paint as the father, along with the dilemma of absent fathers and missing fathers in our culture, you're finding more and more dysfunction in our generation and the generations that's coming after us. It's like a dehydrated body.
Mm.
It is desperate for water to survive. And I believe in our society today, that water is men of honor that will step in and hydrate the body of humanity.
That's so good.
And just say, it's like a fresh stream that comes back into it. And that's a man that's not trying to control everything. There's plenty of men out there seeking honor, but not a whole lot of men that are honorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be that.
I think that you have that representation in pop culture. And then the other idea is that a powerful man then is somebody who runs over people, you know, without thought or care. It's interesting to me that you use the word hydrate, because biblically, you know, there's the scriptures about Christ is the head of the church, husband is the head of the wife, that kind of thing. And the word head there in the Greek doesn't actually mean leader or overseer. It means headwaters or source.
Fountainhead.
A fountain of life. And that is what a man of honor should be for his family, is a fountain of life, a source for continued growth, a source for inspiration, not necessarily an overseer or a power over. And so I find that really refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. Men of honor, man, they empower people. And that's what we need today. We're talking about old fashioned discipleship here. We need men of honor who can empower other people to be men, who empower their families, who empower their cities, who empower their country and the world.
Amen. Calling all men. My heart's swelling just talking about this.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen with the men of our generation and boys who are becoming men.
Yeah.
That they will be men of honor, that they will be men that give their lives away and empower others and become the fresh wellsprings of life to the earth.
Yeah, so good, man.
Coming up, a great man of honor, Chris Jones, will be sitting down with us. We're going to be talking more about this topic when we come back.
Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Recently, there has been an opening for sponsorship of the program. If your group or organization would like to sponsor the Next Gen Worship broadcast, please email us info@nextgenworship.com. This is a powerful way to partner with a movement that is inspiring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Become a sponsor of the Next Gen Worship broadcast today. Find out more information at nextgenworship.com or submit your request for sponsorship via email info@nextgenworship.com. And thank you for supporting the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be talking about activating a city with Daryl Billings. It's a program you definitely want to catch. Today, we've been talking about men of honor, and we're fortunate enough to have on the program with us today, Chris Jones.
Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's great to be here, Clint.
Man, we had you on not too long ago, and I had comments back. It was one of the best interviews that we've ever had. I think it's just that your heart and your message so resonates with what God's doing with us, what God's doing in other people on the earth. So,
and I really enjoyed doing that. And for whatever reason, thank God that it resonates, because when you jump out there, you don't know and you're just wanting to be you and just go for it. And I just really appreciate the opportunity just to be real, to be me, and to be just what the Lord wants to see.
Yeah. Done. Real quick, I mean, just take a few seconds here and help listeners understand who you are. Of course, if they listen to the last one, they know who you are. But real quick, who is Chris Jones?
Chris Jones, again, is just a man who has joined the married life and joined to have a wife and a family. And really at the heart of Chris Jones is a desire to impact people all around for the kingdom and really wanting to see people become who they're called to be without any strings attached and see them come alive and to see them just overcome. I just love to see people get hope and to overcome any obstacle and just go forward and just believe in who the Father is and believe who they are in Him. That's Chris Jones in a nutshell.
That's awesome. I can feel that when I get around you. Well, let's talk about men.
Awesome.
Let's talk to some men. Let's encourage and empower some men to step into the thing that they were called to be and do in the earth. What's your take on men and maybe where you see men are at and where we need to go? Just help us out here. Tell us what's going on inside your heart.
It was good when you asked me about we were going to talk about men. I think one of the things is really the worth and the value of man. And the reason why I say that, because I believe overall men have been devalued and not honored as much as I believe the scriptures honor men. And not the type of honor, respect where it's demanded, but just as it's valued. Because I think we've seen a lot of men struggle. We've seen a lot of men fail. Yeah. And the reality, there's a stigma against men. But this is even by Hollywood and even in the church that, you know, you think of Father's Day, Day is kind of a bygone pastime or a holiday. It goes by real quick. And really, those messages are usually messages of telling men what they can't do and what they're not doing and how they need to clean up. But my thoughts of being, when I look at the scripture, is so much different, that the men are so valued, and they have the ability really to change the world around them by how they relate to the Father and how they relate to one another. And I would see men as a camaraderie of men walking it together and doing it together in deep intimacy. So when I think of men, I think of intimacy. I know a lot of times people say, that sounds like a woman. But for me, when I think of men, I think of intimacy. And one of my favorite characters in scripture is a relationship David and Jonathan have with one another, because they're men and they have deep intimacy and this longing that's been satisfied with one another, being in relationship in the kingdom of God and in Israel.
Yeah. Well, how do you take a group of men, or I mean, you're thinking of typical church scenario, you've got a lot of guys in there, they're working hard, they're sacrificing for their families, you know, they're doing well in family life. How do you get those guys who are maybe not responding to God, or maybe not taking as much responsibility in their kids' spiritual lives as they want? How do you make that jump from where they are to maybe what the kingdom is looking for in a man?
For me, what I really think is really giving them a good insight. I would start with giving them a good insight of who the Father is, because I think a lot of the breakdown that we see now is because men not knowing the Father in a way that is portrayed in scripture, in the way that Jesus showed them, like this loving celebratory father who enjoys being around his sons and is just like Papa sitting in a group of men and just sharing life, answering questions, having this feedback and forth. Because I think a lot of men didn't have that, or they long to have that, because I think the pressure is always to perform, to perform, to perform. So another thing, I would welcome in men into a safe environment. And what I mean by a safe environment for men, an environment where our conversation is not about what value you can bring to my ministry and what giftings you have for my ministry, or looking on your performance through the week, or how big your car is, or your job, or even your position in church, but a safe place where it's free of competition, and it's a place where we can dream, where we can talk, where we can share our hearts, our frustrations, but still we have such a relationship that's based on valuing and honoring one another, regardless of what it looks like going on in their lives.
Yeah. You recently had a men's event, and you were telling me the heart behind it. And I loved the insight you brought. Can you just tell us a little bit about that event and kind of your heart behind it and what you were trying to do there?
Yeah, we got some men together, and it was called Man to Man, a Father's Day event. And the heart behind it was men coming together with one another, meeting with the Father and meeting with one another. A deep heart behind it is to be able to begin to bring honor to men, to honor men for the fact that you're still walking, you're still getting up every morning, you're still doing it. And their desire is not to fail. Their desire is really to succeed, but they need some encouragement. They need to look at another man in the face and say, man, we're going through this together. We're walking together, and we're just going to enjoy one another while we're doing it. We're going to learn from one another. And I think men pouring into men is also one of the things that we want to accomplish, that men have something to give to other men, to one another, regardless of what stage they are in their lives. And we've seen older men with their younger sons. We've seen younger men with their sons. We've seen some without sons, but there was that relationship there, that freedom. And we got away from the norm of the church scenery and just wanted to get out in kind of a wooded area and just open our hearts with one another and encourage one another.
Yeah. What would you say the biggest obstacle is in becoming a man after God's heart? I mean, you kind of look at different men's ministries, and you maybe get the idea that, you know, if they could overcome pornography, or if they could, you know, don't watch any R-rated movies, and, you know, those kinds of things. But really, what is, in your opinion, the biggest obstacle inside a man's heart from becoming a man of God, the things that the kingdom is looking for in men?
That's a great question. That's a question of deep thought. But for me, I would say instantly, as you begin to ask me that, it made me think back to what was my biggest obstacle. And I would say a lot of men is the fear of failure. Wow. The reality is I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail. So Lord, really help me with this, because you're calling me. I sense it. But the fear is I don't want to fail. I don't want to let someone down. Hmm. I don't want to drop the ball. And so sometimes for some men, they step up to the challenge easily because they trust in the Lord. But for other men, they just stand still, because it's not that they don't want to be great. It's not that they don't want to do great things, but they have this fear of failing. And when I think about that, I think about Peter. I think about Peter's denial, that his desire was not to deny Jesus, but he did. Mm-hmm. And I think about that was the most excruciating feeling Peter probably had, is that I failed you, Lord. when you're sincere. Wow. See, failing when you're not sincere is no big deal, I think, to people. But when you're sincere in your heart that I want to go after something for the Lord, I really want to raise my kid, I really want to love my wife, and then I really want to have that connection, and something happens where it seems like that's not happening, that's kind of crushing. And then you start to question, you're frustrated with yourself because you're like, I really wanted to do that. I really wanted to take this shot and go after it, but something happened. I didn't see that weakness in it. When that takes place, it's awesome what Jesus did. Jesus went back to reignite Peter's confidence in himself.
Wow.
Jesus didn't come back and say, I told you, Peter, the prophecy I told you was true. Jesus said, there's no way I'm going to allow that sincere love you had in your heart to diminish. So I'm going to ask you, Peter, do you love me? And with your own mouth, you're going to confess that you love me, because that's the sincerity in your heart, even though you denied me and it seemed like you failed.
Wow. That's so powerful, man. Before we hit record, we were talking about the fact that if men start responding to God, that their families are going to start responding not only to them, but to God also. Yeah. I wonder if we could just maybe throw out some practical things, like you even told me kind of your family dynamic and some things you guys do. So let's talk about some practical things of men starting to respond to God and bringing their families along on this journey with them.
Yeah. I think one thing is read the scriptures, find a devotion, find something good that you can grab a hold on to on a regular basis that your family even knows. You don't have to broadcast, but each morning my family knows I go to a certain place and I'm going to pray to the Father and I'm going to get in devotional time. Now, what they don't know is how that devotional time looks, because sometimes I've fallen asleep while I'm trying to pray or read. I got up early. You know, I'm not the greatest at doing it. Sometimes I've had to reset my heart. I went to do it for this amount of time and then I didn't follow all the way through because I got tired or whatever, but they know that I'm going after it. I'm going after it. That's one of the things. Also, what has helped us, because we really have been influenced by IHOP KC, and a lot of different times they have prayer sets and they have themes. So what we've had in our home for the last 4 or 5 years is each day we have a different prayer theme that we're going to pray for at the end of the night. And we don't always do it well. Sometimes something happens and we miss a night or whatever, but we'll have, you know, Monday we're praying for coaches in school, or Tuesday we pray for the ending of abortion, human trafficking, and Thursdays orphans and different things like that. And we just try to engage, and we say, you know what, this is what we're praying for tonight. It doesn't mean it was a 30-minute prayer time. A lot of times the prayers are probably 5 minutes, and so they're seeing that those things are important. And then I would say, get your kids into a healthy church community, a community of believers, and allow them to walk some steps on their own under someone else's leadership for that time being. And then lastly, one of our winter vacations, this is a winter vacation every year. Now we have our summer vacation. We'll go to amusement parks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But our winter vacation every year for the last 6 years has been taking our kids up to IHOP KC in one thing. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to go to IHOP KC one thing. That's not my point. My point is we intentionally have a vacation where our hearts are going to be set before the Lord.
Wow, wow.
And just be stirred. And there's times as a father, you don't know if your kids are getting it or different things going on. You know, there's times where we might be bickering about this or that, but we know our hearts is like, you know what, this is what we're going to do as a family. And it brings back memories. And I know this upcoming year, my son's senior year, so this might be the last time we get to do that as a family. But I know they're going to remember that. I know they're going to remember those times and what we did that I hope they hand down to their kids.
Yeah. And you mentioned your kids are responding, like your girl wrote a song. She's a songwriter.
Songwriter, she'll go in her room and shut a door and get on the keyboard and just write songs. And her brother has written songs together. My son this year is talking about FCA and wanting to get involved at FCA at Carl Junction High School and wanting me to be involved and seeing them come alive. And I think also what's critical is not to compare your siblings, because they respond differently. My son is more like my wife responding. She doesn't talk a lot, but she's getting stuff from the Lord, and there's times where she will speak and it's going to be so sweet and so awesome. And that's my son. You know, sometimes you would think they're despondent, but they're not. They're taking it in. And my daughter's more like me. We're people. Yeah. We like to get out there. We're singing. And now she sings way better than me. And she's vocal at growing spiritually and stuff. And so that's one thing I would be cautious in doing, not comparing them, but seeing both their own ways that they connect with the Lord and the way they express it and just encourage it. Yeah. You know, just encourage it. Both of them have had difficult trials at times and us praying through. But the thing is just allowing them to soar.
Yeah. So good, man. So many great nuggets in our conversation. I wonder if you would just pray for the men that are listening. Pray for the men, their families, and just reach out through the invisible airwaves here, so to speak.
Yeah, that's great. Abba, Father, I thank you first and foremost that you designed family, and it was your idea to bring family forth and family to be a place where they would encounter you and you would be in the midst of them. And right now, Father, I believe that's what you're doing in families, Lord, that they can start right where they are. I pray for every man and every woman and every child out there that, Lord, you would encounter their hearts in the way that's going to cause things to ignite inside them, for them to begin to dream and to believe. For every man who's afraid of failing, I speak against that failure and that spirit of failure, because you've been chosen to win. You've been chosen to overcome. You've been chosen to stand before your Father, fully exposed and enjoyed and lavished upon. And I just speak life into that. And for every woman, I speak encouragement that you're walking beside your husband and y'all walking together and y'all going to do great things in the earth. And you and your kids are for signs and wonders in all the earth. You're not for death and destruction, but you're for the glory of the kingdom. And I just speak life and healing. And for every man or woman that's been disconnected with the heart of the Father, Father, I pray that you connect them with your heart, that they would know the love of a father, and that you would bring men in their lives, spiritual fathers that will nurture them, will ignite them and encourage them to walk out the destiny you've given them without fear, without doubt, and without shame. And I thank you for that, Father, as you are raising up families in the earth that will testify of your love for humanity and where we're going with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, that was awesome. Chris, you're a powerful voice. Our community needs you. Man, the world needs to hear your voice. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Well, I really thank you for allowing me to take time. And one last thing I would say about men is you've been a blessing to me, and for men to get with other men that's going to encourage them and sometimes stretch them, because you've encouraged me to do some things that's been in me that you see in me that sometimes we need a little pushing to do. And I just thank you for that, because you are helping so many different people just to go into their purpose and their assignment when they've been so dormant and been laid back. So I just appreciate you for that, man. And what you're doing is just awesome.
So good to have Chris Jones with us on the program today. Look forward to talking to him again in the future. Next week, join us as we talk about activating a city with Daryl Billings. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.